right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a citywide premiere, brand new broadcast, The Bar Biz, sponsored by Bar Doctors, featuring Bill and Liz Morin. Fantastic broadcast. Looking forward to it. Got a great, great guest, Matt Titus, in the house. I'm shooting it right over to our host, Bill Morin. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks, Joe. Welcome, people of Pennsylvania, to The Bar Biz. I'm Bill Morin. I'm here with my partner, wife, and co-host, Liz Morin. Say hi, Liz.
Hi, everyone.
Great to have you, Liz.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Liz is not only my wife of how many years?
39.
But she also runs my law practice at 1806 Callow Hill Street, and she's also the CEO of Bar Doctors Incorporated.
Which is amazing because you get along so well.
Surprisingly.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about how we get started and how we haven't killed each other yet. But I'm also here with a great friend, my partner and top broker at Bar Doctors, Matt Titus. Matt, you say hi.
Hi, Bill.
Matt's been in the restaurant tavern industry for over 40 years. He's owned and operated a number of liquor licensed establishments, and he's currently a partner and broker at Bar Doctors. This show is about the bar and restaurant industry, Joe. It's going to concentrate on education about what's happening in the industry in Pennsylvania in what we hope to be an entertaining format.
It's definitely, I will tell you this, and I think the listeners know this, there's definitely a void in the market for this program. Okay, as we know, and I know in our worlds right here, the bar business, liquor licenses, restaurants, clubs, you know, bars, the whole deal, it's like a mystery to people out there, right? But to us, it's our life. And to you, Bill, one of the premier liquor attorneys in the city of Philadelphia, and Matt and Liz, this is what we've been doing our whole life. So it's going to be great information for the people.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else like it out there that I've seen. And, you know, we want to provide information about legislative updates, trends in the industry, business management, which is a big thing. Of course, buying and selling liquor licensed establishments like bars, restaurants, hotels, nightclubs, things of that nature. We want to feature guests in the industry, such as other liquor lawyers like myself, bar brokers like Matt Titus, accountants, insurance guys, vendors, and people in the restaurant and bar industry, new owners of restaurants, people that are up and coming in the industry, and people looking to get into the industry too, which is
and it's like an insider's look at the industry from all angles.
Right, and we also want to concentrate on legislative aspects of the industry because you know the bar industry historically has been forgotten. We're overtaxed, we're overregulated, and you know it's very unusual to have people in the political process that have our backs. So we're going to talk to some of those people about what's going on in the legislature, what things need to be changed, what things are changing. Of course, we're going to be giving you updates periodically on what's going on, you know, in the industry.
Well, there's so much, and I also think that when you talk about legislative and you talk about what comprises the industry, what it takes to not only be successful from a marketing standpoint, but legislatively and in the community and all those things, there's so much people don't see.
Right. Yeah, and people need to get people in the industry need to be more proactive. I find that there's not a lot of cohesion in the industry. There's not a lot of cooperation between industry owners. They tend to be more competitive with each other as opposed to getting together, you know, in a concerted effort to impact the legislature and to make changes that affect us. You know, we're going to be talking a lot about this in the show, but, you know, there have been these incremental changes little by little, right? And we'll talk about those. But I think there needs to be more and there needs to be, you know, more involvement of the bar and restaurant owners.
Well, it's interesting. It's such a specialty when it comes to the law. There's about five of you guys, okay, and you know, that are, you know, really the go-to people when it comes to liquor law. And I'd say, you know, I have two that I would, that and that's you and my good friend, Ed McHugh, okay, right. The best of the best, right? Yeah. I'm sitting here right now and not in hock because of you guys. So it is a specialized industry, and I can't wait to hear all the things you're going to bring to the table.
Yeah, we hope to have guys like Ed McHugh and others on the show to get their perspective on what's going on in the industry. And, yeah, there's maybe five or six of us that concentrate our practice in this area. They call us liquor lawyers. People ask me what I do. I say I'm a liquor lawyer, and they're like, what's that? You know, I have to explain it because people don't understand it. It's a niche practice. It's, you know, we concentrate in just doing that. And
but you're also real estate lawyers. You know, you know the liquor law.
Contracts.
It's so in depth. Right. And I can tell you, as somebody who was in the business 15 years, and it's great to have Matt Titus here because he's, when I say I was in about 17 years, Matt dwarfs that. And I was so lucky to have individuals like yourselves, you know, to really kind of educate me. I lived and learned from my liquor lawyer. So I absolutely love it. And when you say liquor lawyer, okay. Liz, you just said contracts. Okay, you're talking real estate. You're talking liquor law. Any more specialties? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's the whole deal, all wrapped up in one.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to talk a lot about that in the course of this show and other shows about, you know, what we do as liquor lawyers. But you know, it's kind of a package that provide. It's, you know, from finding you a license, for example, you know, we do marketing of licenses. We buy and sell liquor licenses. So, you know, if you come to me and you say, you know, Bill and Liz, we want to open up a bar, right? So we have to find you a liquor license, get an agreement of sale together, knock that out, lock the license in with a deposit, and then form an entity for you, for example, an LLC or a corporation.
Absolutely.
Getting that organization together with all the paperwork that's required and work with the accountant on getting all the tax numbers. And Liz is going to talk a lot about that. Matt's going to talk a lot about that too. But then, you know, if there's a real estate involved, there's either going to be a real estate purchase agreement or a lease. So we negotiate either the purchase of the real estate or the lease agreement, and that's a whole process.
The expertise, though, that you have, when you say real estate, it's, you know, and it's a volatile business. The communities, it's hard to – so your expertise within the business contracts and the real estate law, okay, or second to none, it's why, okay, and we say it a lot of times in workers' compensation, you can't have any dabblers, okay, when it comes to – liquor law. If you're a dabbler and you're an attorney, stay out of liquor law because your liquor lawyers, okay, the best in the business, okay, they absolutely know what you're going to need in your contract and all the contingencies and all those things. So much to talk about.
Yeah. So that's one of our pet peeves is, you know, there's a lot of real estate agents out there that, you know, they're very good at what they do. They buy and sell real estate and they know what they're doing, but they really don't know anything about the liquor license process. And if you're buying a bar or a restaurant or any liquor license establishment that happens to include the real estate, you really need a liquor lawyer to get involved.
Oh, my God.
From the very beginning, because the agreement of sale itself is important. You know, don't do a deal and then come to us and say, hey, take a look at what I've already done, because it may have been done completely wrong from day one. So you need to go to a liquor lawyer from day one to be involved in the process. And, you know, we work with real estate agents and brokers all the time, you know, and that's fine. But you have to do that from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
So I just want to move Joe, if I could.
Sure.
Have Liz introduce herself. Liz, tell us a little bit about, you know, how we got to work with each other, and kind of what you do.
Okay. My name is Liz Martin. I'm Bill's wife of 39 years. One day he came home and asked me if I can come with him to work because he's leaving Ed Taraskas. I'm like, okay, it was supposed to be a temporary thing.
You know, I was working for Ed Taraskas for 20 years.
Right? Yeah.
Ed's a great guy. He basically taught me everything.
I worked for Ed for a little bit there too before we got married.
Yeah, Ed's one of the pioneers, man.
Yeah, he's one of the original He's running OG.
Barry Goldstein, Ed Taraskis.
When they did the renewals, you had to have a bond filed back then.
Yeah.
With the renewal, to have it renewed. I had to go get them all. I was like running around. There was a computer literacy back then.
Oh, yeah.
So what had happened is they were selling our business. And was that 2006?
It was 2005-06, yeah.
And we had very little notice from the landlord that they were selling our building and we had to get out. So I had all of our boxes were packed up. And I went home that night and I said to my wife, I said, you know, if I don't make a move now, I'm never going to, you know, I'm never going to. Our kids were kind of out of school. It was the right time. So I went to Ed and I told him, I said, Ed, I'm not coming with you. You know, I'm going out on my own. And he wished me luck and he sent me on my way. But I suddenly realized that I didn't. You know, I had space over at with Paul Masciantonio over at 1806 Callow Hill, but I didn't have a secretary. So I came home that night and I said to you, "What?
What? I'm in a dilemma. I'm moving to my office, and I need you to come with me. Would you be willing?" I go, "Yeah." And it was only supposed to be a temporary thing because Kelly was out. They were both still in school. Kelly was 12,
oh, they
13.
Were. Well, they were not in grade school.
No, they were.
Right?
Well, okay. Kelly was. Crystal wasn't.
Okay.
And, so I go, all right, we'll see what happens. So we moved Memorial weekend. We moved your files and everything in there, went down to shore for the weekend, came back, and that's when we started working together. And it was great. And I have not left.
Oh, my God.
So, I said, come
just
with me.
Just felt safe with me, I guess.
I said, come with me till I find a secretary. And that was, 20 years ago?
Yeah, 18.
18 years ago. Okay. Yeah. So she's been with me ever since. And so she has, over the course of that period of time, learned everything there is to know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
About the business. She handles all the renewals every year. She handles the license transfers. You know, basically, I put the deal together. I do the legal documentation, and I turn it over to her. She does all the administrative processing. And
well, it is important, that level of trust, because we all know in this business, because of the sensitivities, and I know Matt will get into it, but when you're opening up a new place, because there's community, mm-hmm. and you're dealing with law enforcement, all those approvals and a liquor control board, it's a trust. The people like me and Matt, when you got a deal on the table, you need to be able to trust your attorney. That's one of the other really major things. Because your attorney's got 8,000. If he's as good as he is, he's going to have a lot of costs. That secrecy is so important, and having that trust factor had to be a great thing for the both of you.
It was easy, actually. I mean, because we already had a great relationship on the other side, and I was working from home doing collections, and we would meet up. He'd check all that stuff. So we already had that kind of a chemistry. But then when we went here, luckily he's on the second floor because it is 18 years. I'm on the first. We talk to each other, and we have, I mean, once in a while we snap, but we walk away. And we're like, we're good. It's fine.
We haven't killed each other yet.
I'll tell you, I got some, stories, me and my wife, when she didn't even work together when I was in the business. So I commend you guys.
Well, so I want to just kind of segue into one of the most pressing issues right now, particularly in the city of Philadelphia, city and county of Philadelphia, is liquor license renewals. A lot of people don't realize that a liquor license once issued is only good for 365 days, right? It has to be renewed every year, and there's a process to renew the liquor license. So, Liz, why don't you just tell us a little bit about what a license renewal is and kind of what the process is like.
Okay, so as of right after July 4th, like the 5th, 6th, Bill will get emails from the PLCB stating that it's liquor renewal time, license renewal time. But it's July, but we don't know what these licenses, if they have clearances or not. So until I open, go into the database and see what's going on, I'll get like 50 of them in one day. And I have to go see which ones are cleared and call the client up right away. Go to the application. Why so early? I said, you want to get it done now. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait 3 weeks to get clearance. You get it through because this clearance may evaporate.
Because you wouldn't. Otherwise, you could have a lapse in operations if you wait too long. Or
well, yeah. Actually, October 31st, if they're not renewed, then they have to close at 12 midnight.
Oh, I'm sorry. When?
October 31st for Philadelphia. At midnight, they have to close.
Right. So there's a number of districts, Joe, that the board, because there's so many liquor licenses in Pennsylvania, and because they all have to be renewed every year. They split it up into districts. So in Philadelphia County, for example, October 31st is the deadline, whereas in, let's say, Bucks in Delaware, it's November 30th.
Okay.
Chester is March. Montgomery is April.
And I'm sure you've never received a panic phone call from an owner. No, I'm joking.
Always. Right, yeah. Always.
Every year.
Oh,
every
my
year.
God. Right, right.
What happened? I'm like, you overlooked your email. Now you're looking at me.
Right.
So, Liz, you said that, like, in July, you'll get notice from the liquor board, hey, you need to renew.
And the licensee also gets it. If they're on a database, they will also get the email. And then they forward it to me, like, I never get it. And so I'll call them. I'll check it out. And I go, okay, you're clear. Give me a credit card. Let me pay for it.
So, and then September 2nd in Philadelphia is
a late fee day.
Well, so if you don't file by the September 2nd, they pay $100. But if you don't renew by October 31st, what happens?
You get charged $250 after that, and you have to close at midnight.
So if you don't renew your license and you don't close October 31st at midnight, what happens?
Well, luckily, I've never been in a location that happened to, but I'm assuming, you know, that they'll be on the list. That the state police will show up.
Joe, do you know what happens if you don't renew your license by the deadline?
State police, you name it.
Suspended?
No, you could be arrested.
Arrested?
Because if it's the same as if you didn't have a license at all. It's like you're a speakeasy.
Wow.
So the Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement, which does the enforcement of the liquor laws, it's an adjunct of the Pennsylvania State Police. Pennsylvania State Police Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement, or BLCE, they don't like to do it. They don't often do it. But they could technically shut the place down. They could arrest everybody in there because you're essentially a speakeasy. They could take all the liquor. They could take all of your money and actually charge you criminally.
Now, question, because I didn't know that. Had I known it, my name was, I was the president of the organization, but had I known that, I had a couple partners who I had, you know, some arguments with and some temporary issues. I'd have made them president and immediately defaulted on my license. but when I was, let me ask you this though, once, as obviously premier liquor attorneys, if somebody does, you know, go into, you know, suspension like that and they can be arrested, how long? How quickly is because I'm sure you've gotten these calls. How quickly can you get them back up and running?
Well, I guess it depends a lot. And Liz is going to talk about this a little bit, and so will Matt, about what they call tax clearance.
Right.
The state, several years ago, in conjunction with the liquor board, passed a law. It's a lot of years ago. I don't remember when. It's Section 477 of the Liquor Code. It says that the liquor board is powerless to renew a liquor license unless and until they get state tax clearance. Now, that's not federal. That's not city.
That's state.
State. No. So you have to, before you file your renewal application, you have to get tax clearance.
Got it.
So, Liz, tell us about what tax clearance is and how that works.
Okay. So, as we were saying, this little thing started. I'll open it up, and there'll be, in one matter, there'll be a bar that doesn't have clearance for anything. And this is why, luckily, it's July 6th, so I have time. I don't know what's going to be done, so I have to look at the zip code, find out who the agent is by zip code. And Chester County and PA are one office now. They merged them.
Okay.
And so I actually literally have to call. There's one girl I usually call. I'm not going to mention her name right now. She's been a beautiful revenue agent. She helps me out a lot. But a lot of things have changed because a lot of agents have retired recently.
Sure.
Some are retiring next year that we're not going to have that personal
relationship with.
Yeah. So I call the Northeast office. You have to have all the information up front, EIN number, LID, and then they'll give me who the agent is with their email address. Then I go online, put all that information in the EIN, LID, our number, the name of the company, and I email the agent and say, I need tax clearance for renewal for this license. And they'll get back to me. For labor and industry, it's a little bit easier. I make a phone call, and I get that. I refresh it. I get it right away.
What tax clearance? Of course, I've had that. You know, I remember the document, and whether it's your check for tax clearance or not. But what entails tax clearance for the listener? In other words, is it making sure that you're up to date on your liquor taxes? Is that what that is?
Sales. No, it's not liquor tax. Okay. Liquor tax is the city of Philadelphia. Yeah. That's only in the city of Philadelphia.
Got you. Yeah.
This is state Pennsylvania revenue.
And labor and industry.
Got it.
Okay, so just so you know, just my brother did all that stuff.
Thank God. You know, Liz, tell us, you know, look, for example, people will come to you and say, hey, I need tax clearance. Can you file these returns for me? You don't do that, do you?
I don't. You need an accountant. And if you had an accountant that was doing it before, you need to find him and have him continue with the process because he already has everything from before to now in the system. So, and it's my path. Not doing it.
Well, I did. Are there specialized accountants in this business?
Well, yeah. So, you know, your average accountant or your average CPA may be really good at what they do, but they may not know the processes involved in tax clearance every year for you. So, you know, there's also the city liquor tax. Okay, that's a separate thing. It only applies to bars and restaurants.
10%, right?
10% of your alcohol sales.
Awesome.
To the city for supposedly for the school district. But this is the state of Pennsylvania. So it would be like, for example, if you're missing a sales tax return, and you know, you have to be basically up to date as of that quarter when you're applying.
Sure.
So you may be missing a return. You may be missing an annual reconciliation, annual report. You know, they'll come to Liz and Liz will say, look, we'll help you through this process.
We'll get the information that you need to have this filed.
But we can't file your returns for you. So you really need to have a good accountant that understands the process, is on top of it. And, you know, we'll do the things that are necessary for Liz to take it to the next level in order to renew the license. So, Liz, tell us a little bit about I want Matt to jump in here because he's had quite a bit of experience with this. The filing system for the state used to be called eTides, correct?
Yeah.
And then they just changed over to a new system called MyPath.
Yeah, it's MyPath. They migrated everything from eTides to the state government thing where you can do pretty much your PA-100s, all your filings online and everything. But I'm not accounting. If I do a login, it's going to reflect everybody that I'm working, and I'm not taking that responsibility by doing their taxes. I vlog it just for me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's how that works. That's how it is, but it's very difficult. I never learned it because I wasn't asked to. And I do enough of this right now where I don't – I look into it. I do. I try to do what I can. But it is difficult if you're not an accountant. I don't know where to put the numbers. I never went to school for that.
Well, you talk all these taxes. Okay, talk about overregulated and all that stuff. You got to be on top of this stuff. Thank God you have somebody, a point person like Liz, handling this for a lot of these people, and also connect, making sure that you know, obviously they connect with their accountants and all that stuff. Because otherwise, the bar biz ain't just a party. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let Matt jump in here because he has some personal experience with MyPath. Matt, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. So Liz mentioned eTides. That was the system that was used for paying sales tax, registering, and PA-100s. It took me a while to learn all that. And once I learned all that, they came up with a whole new system called MyPath, which they just – when did that come about?
November of last year.
Yeah. So,
they had one system and they just switched it?
No, they're actually migrating it.
Okay.
So they left eTides open up until November, and then approximately like December, January, like it went over all to MyPath. But because revenue was learning it still.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that option.
And got it. Neither systems are user friendly. There's a methodology and a system that they put together. It's been a nightmare to say the least. I've spent probably, with no exaggeration, in the last 60 days, 30 hours in learning the MyPath system.
Wow.
Or I was about to lose a deal.
Do you work the – in other words, you take the responsibility to kind of handle that yourself? I mean, you've been around the block.
Well, I took it to account number one.
Okay.
Account number one couldn't do it. I took it to account number two. Count number two, and no disrespect for them. I had in my eagerness, I went in and made all kinds of changes and hooked up my business to my personal and my personal to my business. I had it to where nobody could figure it out. So that was the number one problem. But the end result is I've got a complete education in the new MyPath system. I might even set up a new business for doing anybody's
brings a new
navigation.
Yeah, so Bar Doctors is expanding.
Bar Doctors, right.
Bar Doctors is expanding to do MyPath right
consulting,
now.
MyPath consulting. I like that.
Yeah, I know Matt went through the ringer. Accountants couldn't do it. Liz wasn't doing it.
I wasn't doing it.
I think there, again, Joe, going back to this whole thing about legislative changes, you know, this is people's livelihoods.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know they procrastinate. You know, bar owners are renowned for this. You know this. They wait till the last minute for everything. I mean, they'll renew their driver's license before they'll renew their liquor license. So they always come to us at the last minute, and it's crunch time.
How many miracles have you produced?
Well, Liz is the miracle worker here. She does. I don't know how many renewals do you do a year.
It depends. I get questions or what? Maybe between 50 and 100.
Wow,
every year. So,
and that's all different counties.
People do it on their own. Some people have their accountants do it, and some people have Liz do it. So it's like a accounting season for accountants. You know what I mean? In April 15th. So September, October is crunch time for Liz for these renewals. But getting back to legislation, I mean, this is people's livelihoods, and they need to have a simpler system to file their taxes so they can pay taxes. You know, why make it so hard? Matt spent 30 hours to get onto this system to get clearance for... He's not even – this is for a new business that Matt's getting involved in, and I don't know how much you want to talk about that, Matt, but it's not only when you renew your license that you need tax clearance. When you're applying for a new license,
the new company needs
it. The new company has to have tax clearance. So even though you haven't operated yet and you don't have to file returns, you have to have all your tax numbers. And to get all your tax numbers, you have to open up this MyPath account, and it's a nightmare. It's a freaking nightmare. So I think, again, legislative changes need to be made to streamline this system. I know Philadelphia's having this Philadelphia Open for Business program for Cheryl Parker, which we applaud. The same kind of thing has to happen through Governor Shapiro to streamline this system and make it easier for people to get online and to pay their taxes.
What's interesting is the PLCB, right? I mean, we're connected to like Lancaster, right? Lancaster County, you know? So in other words, a lot of these antiquated, you know, they want us to be, especially Philadelphia, a premier entertainment, sector in the state, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we are. Okay. You guys are in the heart of entertainment right there. I made my living and my life there for 15 years, but it's amazing how sometimes they make it so hard for you.
Right.
You know, it's a difficult thing, and that's just another example.
So there's one other aspect to tax clearance that we haven't touched on is that in recent – it used to be
– it's actually just in the recent year.
In the recent year.
My path hit.
Yep. So it used to be that the entity that you have, let's say it's Joe Doherty Incorporated – is the liquor licensee, Joe Doherty Incorporated would have to get the tax clearance.
Right, right.
Now, since last year,
came in, right?
They want tax clearance from the individual owners as well. So it's not only the corporation or the LLC that has to get clearance, but the individual officers and shareholders. So let's say you have a company with 15 shareholders. Each and every one of those individual shareholders have to have tax clearance as well.
What? How could, as an individual, what type of clearance would an individual have in regards to paying,
It's either filing an extension or filing your taxes for that year. If you filed an extension, then they'll overlook that. Then they'll give you clearance because you proceeded with the right steps. So that's what that's pretty much, I mean, I have all the time. I need these social security numbers. I need this one paid. We're good. This one is this much. They have it all written down. So I just email everybody and said, here, handle it.
So do they kind of, does that mean that they're holding everybody personally responsible along, along with the entity? Is that kind of
what it means is if if, like I said, if you have 15 shareholders and one of your shareholders has an issue, let's say, for example.
What kind of issue? That's what I mean.
Well, let's say the revenue just did an audit and you disagree with the audit and you say, wait a minute, I want to appeal this audit. I don't agree with your numbers. They're not going to give you clearance, which means that holds up the entire process. That means that that entity may or may not get tax clearance.
Where'd they come up with this? In other words, is there a reason why they threw this added wrinkle in?
Well, for obvious reasons. They, you know, used it as a way to collect taxes from
individuals. Filed.
The whole thing from day one was Pennsylvania Department of Revenue saying somebody over there had this light bulb moment where they said, hey, wait a minute, we can make tax clearance a condition of you getting your liquor license renewed, right?
Right.
So some other individual over there had another light bulb moment where he said, well, why don't we do this for the individual officers
real thinkers,
and shareholders? Yeah. So I personally, Joe, disagree with that reading of the statute. I think somebody needs to challenge it because I don't think the intent of 477 of the liquor code, which deals with tax clearance, had any intention, and I don't think it reads that way, that the individual officers and shareholders need tax clearance.
So, got it.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to step up. Maybe it's me. I don't know, but somebody's
going
to
step up. I was just thinking.
Yeah, well, if the bar owners want to get together and retain me, maybe we'll talk about it.
And it'd be worth their while. Go ahead.
And on that subject, what happens, let's say you don't owe any taxes, but there wasn't a year that your PA taxes were not filed. This stops the whole system. This throws it into a delay, and not only a delay in getting tax clearance, but a delay in obtaining your liquor license. And everything is time sensitive. Moving forward, you have so much time to do this, so much time to do this. And if it doesn't matter if you owe taxes or not, you're still thrown into that delay. So, it's important. And they just don't. They go back your whole lifetime of.
Yeah, they'll go back. They'll go back as many years as they want to go back. And in fact, we've had some issues. Are we taking a commercial break?
Yeah, we can take a. Let's do this.
Well, let me finish. Your point. That even if there's a statute of limitations, even if they go back more than the record-keeping requirements, I've had them go back 7 years.
Incredible.
And say, well, wait, you didn't file a return 7 years ago. Well, the accountant doesn't have those documents. They don't have the work papers. You don't have any of those numbers.
You got to refile again.
Or you got to make up numbers, which is dangerous.
No question. And I'm sure, Liz, you're the point person for a lot of that stuff, and I'm sure there are people scrambling, no question. It's just amazing. There are so many things, so many facets. We're talking about the inner makings of a liquor business right now, not even the operational part, which can be such a major part of it as well. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll have more from the Bar Biz, sponsored by Bar Doctors, in just a minute.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Healthy people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments, the benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a citywide premiere, The Bar Biz, sponsored by Bar Doctors, hosted by Bill and Liz Morin, and our featured guest is Matt Titus, who's also a partner at Bar Doctors, an entrepreneur, somebody with a lot of experience in this business. We're going through, the nuts and bolts right now. Back to our host, Bill Morin.
Thanks, Joe. So just to finish up from the last segment, file your renewal early. Make sure you get a good accountant. And if you want us to help you with the renewal, call Liz at 215-568-2235 or morinlaw.com, and she'll be happy to help you through that process. But again, do it early. Don't wait till the last minute, because remember, if you're not renewed on time, you're going to have to close.
How often, by the way, are people last minute, okay? Or how many people take that advice and can do it?
Well, most people in this business, the ones that I do, should know. But there are some people that are not a computer. They call me ahead of time, or I'll call them. You're clear and clear. And they come in and drop off a check. They won't even do a credit card.
Okay.
And they're not online. So I give them
old
the respect.
School.
It's old school. So I understand that too. So, and they appreciate it. They said, the president ever leaves, then I'm going to make sure in my will that you're on here. You're their lawyer forever.
Right.
So, yeah. So we got a lot of thank yous for that. Most people do their own, but if they do have a problem with their taxes, the smart ones that are on the computer, they know to call their accountant.
Absolutely.
And then there's some people that are brand new to the business. They don't know. So that's where we come in and we help them and direct them in the correct way.
Fantastic.
And just a parenthetically, Joe, we do at Bar Doctors have what we call dedicated referrals for things like this. So we have accountants that we work with all the time. So if you're looking for a good accountant, you can contact bardoctors.net. We can refer you to somebody that knows this process and can help you through it.
Yep. So important to have an expert in the business.
Yes, it is.
All right. So, Matt, I introduced you earlier, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Bar Doctors?
My name is, I'm Matt Titus, partner at Bar Doctors. I found my passion here 6 years ago in the buying and selling of restaurants and bars is part of what Bar Doctors does, a major part of it. And I come into a business and evaluate the real estate. I value the furniture, fixtures, equipment, the business, and then the goodwill, which is and that all equals value. And then the process begins. Things have changed a lot since the pandemic. Not only did they change, slow down with the pandemic, and a lot of changes took place after the pandemic. Just this year, interest rates soared. And when interest rates soar, the buying stops,
How many novelty owners are there, though? Like, in other words, people that are new to the business, have always wondered it. Or more people who have been in the business buying, or what is the market like when it comes to buyers?
50-50. It turns 70-25 once everything is right, the interest rates, and, of course, the value.
When you say 70, you talk about the experienced owners?
Experienced owners, yes.
Right.
Yeah, and they have their own formulas. It's generally, they pick through it to find the best. There's what I'm finding a lot, people want to be close to, if it's Bucks County, they would like a, you know, a business in Bucks County, you know, so they're specifically.
Oh, where they know the area where they're from? Okay.
Of course, the lead is, you know, what the business is grossing annually.
Sure.
And
of course,
most importantly, the EBITDA or the earnings dictate the experience and draw the experienced buyers.
Got you.
So, Matt, if someone was looking to buy a bar in Pennsylvania, a bar, a restaurant, or a nightclub, I understand you do other businesses as well. What resource would they go to contact you to find out, you know, what your inventory is, what you have for sale?
We advertise on all the major
websites.
Websites, BizBuySell, LoopNet, and a lot of our inquiries come through that source. What I'll do is I'll identify with an NDA, a non-disclosure, before I give any information out, because it's prioritized information.
Sure.
So make sure they're a real person, qualified buyer, before we even give the name of
Absolutely.
A restaurant. And
let me just jump in there, Matt. I understand, and looking at, like, they can go on bardoctors.net, right, and find your inventory?
Well, then through there, they get to bardoctors.net, and they find all the information about that sale or the information, more detailed information on all the availability.
All right, because I noticed going on your inventory list, there's not a lot of detail about each listing, and I want to kind of touch on this a little bit because from what we know, bar owners would say, please sell my bar, but don't tell anybody you're selling my bar because you don't want
to operate while you're right.
Well, you don't want your employees to panic. You don't want your customer base to panic. You maybe want to keep it close to the vest until you're actually, you know, ready to pull the plug and go forward with a sale, right? So how do you manage that? How do you sell a bar? How do you advertise a bar for sale without essentially telling
without putting a for sale sign up on the building, right?
Yeah. So basically we start out with a lead description with the asking price, general area, and information where in reading that information, you're not going to be able to determine what
the financials are.
Not just the financials, but even where what bar is it?
Okay. The exact street. They'll know the general area, but not the exact street location.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so then, but what they do see, they see gross sales. They see profits, and they respond to that. There also might be some things like sports bar or hotel bar or, you know.
Type of liquor license maybe?
Usually we get into that.
Okay.
Type of liquor license could be in there.
So, Matt, you would have them sign it. You mentioned a non-disclosure agreement.
Non-disclosure agreement, which not only identifies who they are, but it also has qualifications. We have 9 different qualifications in there for that they have the ability to purchase the bar.
Right. So what I'm saying is from a seller's concern, I don't want to give you my books and records. I don't want to give you anything.
Right.
Unless you sign a non-disclosure agreement that you're, number one, not going to disclose any of that information to anybody.
And not just that. Every owner, most owners, we don't want to give out information until they have an offer. They'll give out the general information. We'll give a P&L, but we're not giving out.
Well, it's interesting because I'm hearing you talk about it. In a sense, you're not only selling an establishment, but you're vetting the people that are Because, I mean, I imagine in this business, there are more pretenders than the day is long.
We call them tire kickers.
Tire kickers. I got I can see that's not a new term.
We all said all three. But
that really is such, it's such a big deal, because obviously you have to, it's a big, you know, you're asking for a lot of information when you do get to the point where there's a non-disclosure. And, you know, getting into that situation, you got to know that these people have been vetted. Now, listen, we only have about 10, 11 minutes, okay? And I know you wanted to talk about some of the new products.
Yeah, so we could table that for another discussion.
Oh, yeah, okay,
I think,
right.
I think
this conversation,
Matt and I could talk about buying and selling bars.
Let's do it.
For hours. But
because, by the way, I got one for you, so we're going to drive past it on the way back. So.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about this new law called the RTD, ready-to-drink cocktails, or as the board's calling it, RTDCs, ready-to-drink cocktails. It's called Act 86 of 2024. It was just signed into legislation by Governor Shapiro this summer. It was, I want to point out, bipartisan legislation. It went into full effect on September the 16th. Okay, so it is now in effect. It allows retail licensees such as bars, restaurants, and hotels, and distributors, beer distributors, to sell prepackaged, ready-to-drink cocktails for on-premises consumption and for takeout. So this is where it's big. Okay, these are prepackaged items from the manufacturer. They're usually in cans, but they also have pouches. I'm sure you've seen those.
Sure.
They can be up to 16 ounces. The alcohol can be 0.5% up to 12.5% alcohol by volume. And I have actually a list from the liquor board. It's surprising how many, the variety that's going to be available. So, I mean, we've all heard about High Noon. High Noon has a black cherry vodka, lemon vodka, et cetera, et cetera. High Noon has a tequila mix. There's a Jose Cuervo margarita cocktail. There's these are just a few. Jack Daniels has a Jack and Coke, which my wife Liz enjoys.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's endorsing that product.
She's endorsing the Jack and Coke.
Right.
He just drinks the Jack. Thanks.
That's another show.
Entirely.
Stateside, we've all heard of Stateside Surfside cocktail, the variety pack, Surfside iced tea, black cherry, peach. It goes on and on. Even Twisted.
And these are did you say takeout?
Yeah, this is for takeout. White Claw. Yeah. So everybody knows you can go into a bar and you get up to 2 6-packs of beer.
Right.
You can now get not only 2 6-packs of beer, but you can also get up to 2 6-packs of pre-mixed cocktails.
Wow.
So you can go in and get 2 6-packs of Bud and you get 2 6-packs of White Claw.
I mean, to me, you know, in a sense, that's a game changer. And a revenue stream that bars have never had the opportunity. When did that come into effect?
Full effect September the 16th. And it's now available. First of all, the cost of the permit is $2,500 initially, right? That's a lot of money, but it's only for the initial permit. And then you have to renew it annually, just like your liquor license. And that's only a 2% of the sales of that product over the past year.
Now, question for you: what licensees can do this? Is it just restaurant licensees, or
it's restaurants, hotels,
okay,
and distributors?
Okay.
Now the code is silent on whether e-licenses can do it. E's are your eating place retail dispensers or what do you call them, Liz?
The eateries?
Takeout beer. Yeah, basically, they're delis.
Okay.
Deli licenses.
Got you.
But if you have a grocery store such as
ShopRite,
thank you, and they have a restaurant liquor license, so if they're selling beer and wine, they can also be selling this stuff.
So if I go to my Acme, which is, you know, I mean, they have a beer section. Okay.
Right.
They now have the White Claw and a lot of these other.
If they filed the application, it takes a little bit of time to get approved. There's a process.
You'll start seeing it in the next couple of weeks. I mean, this is going to happen very quickly. There's hundreds and hundreds of people that have already applied for the permit. And the board is, we have a couple of our clients have already been issued the ready-to-drink cocktail
permit. Can you promote it? Are you allowed to promote this?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Any advertising that's permitted, let me caveat by saying any advertising that's currently permitted, could, you know, if you can advertise beer, then you can advertise this. The important thing is that you can have a beer case that has beer and a beer case that has these cocktails in it.
Wow.
So they could be like refrigerated, so you could grab a 6-pack of beer and a 6-pack of White Claw and walk out the door with
it. I was going to ask you, is it still, in other words, it's 2 6-packs of beer, but is it now
plus 2 6-packs? Oh. Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's 100. Well, it's 192 fluid ounces, yesterday, which is equivalent to 2 6-packs of 16 ounces.
Okay.
Right.
Got you.
So you can have 2 6-packs of beer and 2 6-packs of Stateside. So there's a couple of restrictions that are important, though. The sales have to stop at 11 p.m.
Okay. Is that the same way it is with beer?
No, beer is up to 2 o'clock.
Okay.
For some reason, they want to restrict it to 11 o'clock. Don't ask me why. But to sell on Sunday, so you can sell from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. I'm sorry, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Oh, we only have 5 minutes.
We're 5 minutes, man. We're rocking it. This is the fastest hour in radio.
Yeah. So you can sell on Sunday if you have a Sunday sales permit. You have to be RAMP certified. That's very important. You have to be currently RAMP certified. There has to be a designated register, and the person running the register has to be 18 years of age and RAMP certified. And then we'll have to save this for another show on where to buy this stuff. You can pre-order through your own liquor store, your wine and good spirits store. You can order through a PLCB Loop system, which is the online ordering program that the board has. And there's also a wholesale locations, distribution centers, where you can pick up these products.
Okay, so here's an interesting question. Where did they used to be available? In other words, you couldn't buy, they were available at the bar, but you had to drink them at the bar. Now you can take out.
You used to have to buy them at the liquor store.
Oh, I was going to say, right, at the liquor store.
Because remember, they contained liquor.
Right.
And traditionally, you could only sell beer for takeout, malt or brewed beverages, right? You couldn't sell any liquor for takeout. So this is basically allowing liquor for takeout as long as it's pre-mixed. It doesn't exceed the percentage of alcohol that I discussed, and provided it's in pre-packaged containers. So you can't be mixing your own stuff at your bar.
But being educated, okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. A lot of people think that they can do that.
Everybody's creative thinker, right?
Right. So it has to be the manufacturer's can or the pouch.
So the education part, and I love what you guys are doing here, because you're dealing with, here's a funny thing. My wife came home from, I guess, ShopRite or Acme, and over the summer. She did not have her driver's license on her because she was running out, And she comes back. She's like, they wouldn't serve me. I couldn't get it's not your father's root beer, which she wanted to get, right? I'm like, I have to go up there. So I walk up, right? And the kid behind the counter, the person behind the counter, was a young person. And the first thing he does is ask me for my license. And I'm going to take a shot at this. But you're doing that not because you're required to, because I look so young. Is that what it is? He goes, no. Obviously, he's going, we require it. What I'm saying is that the education with these, and for these non-typically selling, these establishments that are, not used to selling this stuff, right. A show like this, what we're doing right now, is a great educational resource, mm-hmm, for people who are, now able to sell things. You're talking about bartenders who have never done this before. Are the establishments revving up on their education and their training?
Yeah, one of the aspects of the liquor code was to make sure that there's a requirement that everyone is RAMP certified. RAMP is the Responsible Alcohol Management Program, which is the program that's established and conducted by the Liquor Board to train people, particularly on checking IDs and things like that.
So let's do this. We have like less than a minute and a half left. First off, I want to congratulate everybody on the show. Fantastic. Unbelievable information. Couldn't be more excited about having this show in the market. Okay. I am thrilled to be a part of it, because this is a life that I've lived for a long time. Although I was, you know, mostly doing the marketing, the promotions, and dealing with the community and all that stuff, and the security, like Matt and I were talking about. My brother would be perfect. You know, he's going to love this show. But anyway, you know, any parting words, Bill?
Yeah. So we hope to do this on a periodic basis, a more regular basis, and provide more information. I wish we had more time because we barely touched on the topics we touched on.
Right.
But Joe, there's so much more, and I look forward to doing this again.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody. Thank Tyler, our producer. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Bar Biz, sponsored by Bar Doctors. I want to thank our hosts, Bill and Liz Marin, and of course, our special guest, Matt Titus, also a Bar Doctors. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm ecstatic to be a part of this broadcast. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.